Structuring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
When you're looking for a good place to eat, what do? You look for the parking lot with the most cars. So when you're looking to save some real money on car insurance, what do? You call GEICO. They've been the fastest growing car insurance company over the past 5 years, which means their parking lot has been filling up faster than anybody's. Guess folks really like what's on the menu. Save money. Save money. And oh yeah, save money.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Hey, welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. You know, yesterday was International Homeless Animals Day, and around the world, candlelight vigils were conducted by groups knowledgeable about the ongoing tragedy of pet overpopulation. Recognition of a special day to remember the pets without homes and to mourn the loss of millions of animals destroyed in shelters every year was introduced by the International Society for Animal Rights, or ISAR, in 1992. And over the years, it's really grown, and really anyone or any group can arrange a vigil. And if you're interested, just contact ISAR at ISAR online.org, and they're going to help you with informational packets and good advice to make a successful event. It occurs on the third Saturday in August every year. Listeners of this show probably know about the huge pet overpopulation problem, and you're probably already adopting your pets rather than buying them. And you likely know the importance of fixing your pets and encouraging others to adopt and fix their pets. And, of course, the breeders and the puppy mills are the worst villains, and whom I blame the most for our pet overpopulation problem and for the suffering and killing of homeless animals. For every dog or cat they, the breeding industry, selfishly brings into this world means one home fewer for a dog or a cat desperately waiting in a shelter or struggling to survive on the streets. We have spoken several times on Animals Today about the self-serving, uncompassionate people who we call breeders and the cruelties involved and the abuse that occurs in the large-scale, substandard commercial breeding facilities called puppy mills, and how it is so important not to support them. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say about that for now. But the candlelight vigils really also serve to inspire and motivate participants to do what they can to really help alleviate this global tragedy of pet overpopulation and senseless killing of dogs and cats. The vigil was organized last night by a nonprofit organization, Desert Paws, in Palm Desert, California. It began at 6:30 and lasted a little less than an hour, and there were about 75 people and pretty well-behaved dogs there. The program consisted of a number of speakers, including an enlightening perspective from a humane animal control officer, heartbreaking poetry readings, and a ceremonial ritual in which everyone placed their glow stick candles on the grass to spell out the word home, to remind us that every pet should have a home. In the remarks from Professor Henry Mark Holzer, the founder of ISAR and the individual generally regarded as the nation's first animal rights lawyer, he asked us to continue to do whatever we can on the ground to combat pet overpopulation. But he also asked us to support those who have devoted their lives to animal rights causes, those who are in positions to make a big impact. And interestingly, one of those he named as worthy of our support happens to be our next guest today on Animals Today, Professor Gary Francione. Gary is Distinguished Professor of Law at Rutgers University School of Law, where he's been teaching animal rights and the law since 1989. He is the author of many books and articles and has a new book that is about to be published entitled The Animal Rights Debate, Abolition or Regulation. Today we're going to cover a number of topics related to animal rights. Gary, thank you very much for joining us on Animals Today.
It's my pleasure.
Gary, although we did not plan specifically to discuss pet overpopulation and euthanasia, would you like to comment on the issue to get us going here?
Well, sure. I mean, you mentioned before that the breeders are the problem, and I don't look at it that way. The breeders exist because of demand. It's the same way, I mean, you know, a lot of animal rights people tend to look at the slaughterhouse as the problem. Slaughterhouses exist because people make demands. They demand animal products. So I don't really see the breeders are capitalists. I mean, they're people in business. You know, they sell animals, and they would sell bananas if they could make more money selling bananas. So I think really the problem is the demand. The problem is, you know, and I don't care what area of animal exploitation we're talking about, whether we're talking about eating animals, whether we're talking about the pet industry, whether we're talking about experimentation. I don't care what area it is. The problem is not the people who are the institutional exploiters, who are engaging in the institutional exploitation. They're just making money, and they would be making money in a different way if the demand were different. The problem is we as consumers demand pets. Now, I have five non-human animals. We have five dogs that live with us. They are all rescued animals. Two of them came, they were puppy mill rescues. One came from the streets, two came from a kill shelter. And I love our dogs dearly. But let me be clear. If there were two dogs, and you won't find anybody in the world, Lori, who enjoys living with dogs more than I do. If there were two left in the world and it were up to me whether they continued to breed so that we could have pets, the answer would be unequivocally no. We should not have pets. Pet ownership is a form of exploitation. My dogs are dependent on me completely for everything in their lives. When they eat, when they drink, when they go out, they are perpetually vulnerable. You know, domesticated animals live in this netherworld of vulnerability. They're not really animals, and they're not humans. They're dependent on us for everything, for all of their lives. And I think that it's really unfortunate. I mean, you know, we have to take care of them. They're here. We have to take care of them. But we shouldn't be bringing any more into the world. And the whole notion of domestication is, I think, a serious problem. So I think it's complicated, and I think that it's part of the moral schizophrenia we have about animals. You know, but.
Gary, I see your point, and I understand it, but the fact is we do have pets. Pets are a part of people's families, and so really I guess then you're saying if this is the way it is, we should really educate people about the cruelties involved in breeding then, right?
Well, I mean, the cruelties involved in breeding them, I mean, I think what we ought to be doing is encouraging people to not exploit animals at all. We should be educating people about not eating them, not wearing them, not using them, and we ought to be educating them about why they shouldn't be purchasing dogs at pet stores, cats or anybody else at pet stores, and we ought to be encouraging people to adopt homeless animals. Absolutely. I mean, you know, as I say, we have five of them, and we ended up, in my younger days, Lori, if you had told me that I would ever move out of Manhattan, which I thought was the center of the universe, I would have thought that you were crazy. And when we got dog number three, we didn't really have much of a choice. So I actually left the city that I loved and moved into the suburbs, which I don't particularly care for, in order to give homes to dogs. So I made that sacrifice. Anna made that sacrifice. We're not suburban types. We're urban types, and we ended up living in the suburbs in order to have our dogs. But let me say this. I would be really happy in a world in which there were no dogs, there were no cats, there were no goldfish, there were no gerbils, there were no hamsters, there were no cows, chickens, pigs, nothing for us to exploit, just the animals living out in the wild that we left alone.
Yeah, gotcha. I hear you. Could you explain to me and my listeners the terms animal rights and animal welfare and how they differ?
Well, I mean, that depends on who you talk to. But the way I see animal rights, I mean, I interpret animal rights as the notion that sentient non-humans have inherent value and that they have the right not to be regarded as or treated as property. And that means that we cannot morally justify exploiting them. Animal welfare is the notion that it is all right to use non-human animals as long as we treat them in a particular way. So animal welfare seeks to regulate animal use. Animal rights, as I interpret that term, although, you know, my interpretation is one that is not shared by many people in a lot of the large animal organizations in the country. My interpretation of animal rights means they have one right, the right not to be treated as property. But once you recognize that one right, it basically means you cannot any longer justify the perpetuation of animal exploitation at all. And so recognizing that one right requires a paradigm shift in the way that we think about non-human animals and treat them.
Yeah, very good. Gary, what does it mean to be an abolitionist in terms of animal rights?
Well, I mean, the abolitionist approach is something I've been developing, I don't know, for 20 years now, maybe more, because I started actually teaching in 1984, and I taught, I believe I'm the first person to teach animal rights theory in an American law school, and that was in 1984 at the University of Pennsylvania, where I began teaching. I think that, you know, so the abolitionist approach is something I've been working on for many, many years now, and what it has several components. One is it maintains that we ought to abolish animal exploitation and not regulate it. That is, we ought to stop using animals and not focus on regulating animal use to make it more humane. First of all, that avoids the fundamental moral question about whether we are justified in using animals at all. But secondly, it ignores the fact that animals, because they're property, animal welfare standards, animal welfare regulation will never work, and it doesn't work. And I've spent a good deal of my career writing about and giving examples to show that animal welfare regulation doesn't work. The abolitionist approach, as I've developed it, is based only on the notion of sentience. That is, I don't think that chimpanzees matter more because they're like us any more than I think that people of color who have more white blood matter more because they're more like white people. I reject the latter as racist. I reject the former as speciesist. I think that the fact that animals are sentient is the only characteristic they need to have. It doesn't matter whether they can count to 10. It doesn't matter whether they're complex cognitively like us. All that matters is they are sentient. That's the only characteristic that matters. So I don't see a chimpanzee as being different from a dog, as different from a rat, or anything like that. I mean, they're more like us. So what? The third component of it is I maintain that veganism is the moral baseline of the animal rights movement, and in that sense, I depart from many other people in the animal protection movement who do not maintain that veganism is as important as I do. I see veganism as the moral baseline of the animal rights movement, Lori, and for the following reason. I mean, look, we all agree it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering and death on animals. Now, we can have an interesting philosophical discussion about what necessity means, but if it means anything, mm-hmm. if it's a coherent idea at all, it means we can't justify imposing suffering or death on animals for reasons of pleasure, amusement, or convenience. Yet, the overwhelming use of animals that we make, 56 billion every year, is for food. And nobody in 2010 maintains that we need to be eating animals to lead an optimally healthy lifestyle. Indeed, even mainstream healthcare people are recognizing that animal products are detrimental to health. Animal agriculture is ecologically disastrous. And the best explanation we have, or the best justification that we have for killing 56 billion animals every year, not including fish and other aquatic animals, is that they taste good. And so it seems to me that if we take animals seriously, the first thing we do, you know, everything else is sort of a secondary issue. The first thing we do is we stop eating them. We stop eating meat. We stop eating dairy. No more cheese. No more ice cream. No more, you know, all that stuff's got to go. That seems to me to be the no-brainer sort of situation. It doesn't seem to me to be particularly complicated or to require a particularly sophisticated philosophical argument. And the fourth part of the abolitionist approach is I reject violence.
Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you here. I want to hear more about this. Stay tuned. More with Dr. Gary Francione with Animals Today. Very interesting stuff here.
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. It's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized, millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, grounded in inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred. Or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Would you like to own a brand new computer and improve your credit at the same time? If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99, you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. Computer Funding says you're approved guaranteed, even if you have bad credit or no credit. All you need is a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for only 12 months. We even report on your credit so you can help start to build or rebuild a positive rating today. Call 888-416-2321. Call right now and we'll include a free 20-inch LCD TV and free printer with your paid purchase. That's a free LCD TV and free printer. Don't wait. Call now for your computer or wireless laptop and help build or rebuild your credit today. Call 888-416-2321. 888-416-2321. That's 888-416-2321.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the proven breakthrough called Hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a risk-free trial today.
She always looked good to me. I can't believe how young she looks.
For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-506-1961. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-506-1961. 1-800-506-1961.
I don't know. Maybe you're one of those individuals who doesn't want to save money on car insurance. Maybe you're an alien from another planet. Maybe on your world, the words saving and money have no meaning. Well, I feel sorry for you. But around here, if you want to save money on car insurance, you switch to GEICO. Just like 4 million humans switched to GEICO last year. Welcome to planet Earth.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirschner. Welcome back to Animals Today. We are speaking to Professor Gary Francione. He's the Distinguished Professor of Law at Rutgers University School of Law. Gary, list again for briefly, please, for the my listeners that may just be tuning in, the basic elements in your abolitionist approach.
The basic elements of that, I believe we should promote the abolition of animal exploitation. We shouldn't waste our time trying to regulate animal use. It doesn't work. And the abolitionist approach requires only that animals be sentient. I don't think that we should be favoring, that we should be fetishizing porpoises or chimpanzees or elephants because they are more like us or we perceive they are more like us. As long as an animal is sentient, we have no moral justification for treating that animal as a means to our end. I promote veganism as the moral baseline of the animal rights position. I reject violence, and I think that really what advocates ought to be doing is educating people in creative, nonviolent ways about veganism and about getting rid of animal use in their own lives. The fundamental principle of the abolitionist approach, Lori, is that as long as we're eating them, as long as we're wearing them, then things are never really going to change. We'll just be tinkering at the edges. And that's never going to be enough, and we're never going to see any progress. You know, I've been doing this work now for almost 30 years. And when I first started, I used to work with a lot of the large animal organizations. As a matter of fact, for many years, and many of your listeners probably won't know this because I'm very critical of PETA, but I used to work with PETA. I never charged for my services. I did it pro bono. But I worked with people for the ethical treatment of animals almost from the time that it was started. And now I really have very little, if anything, to do with any of these large organizations. As a matter of fact, let me correct that. I have nothing to do with any of the large organizations because they're all basically welfarist regulationist organizations. They promote happy meat. They promote humane labels stamped on meat and other animal products. They give awards to slaughterhouse designers, things like that. I think that's really going in the wrong direction. I disagree with that. And so, my view is that, things are not really going to change until we're really clear about eating animals, wearing them, using them. Let me give you an example of something that sort of really hit me, and I think it hit a lot of people. And that was the whole Michael Vick business. You remember a few years ago, Michael Vick is fighting dogs, and people are all upset because he's fighting dogs. And then, he came out of prison last summer, I guess, whenever he did, I guess. I don't even remember when, but then he signed up with the Eagles, and everybody was all upset about that. And I remember, a couple years ago when he was first arrested, and I was sitting here listening to, constant report after report about Michael Vick and the fighting dogs and how horrible it was. And I wrote an editorial for one of the Philadelphia newspapers, Philadelphia Daily News, and I think the title of it was "We're All Michael Vick," and I proceeded to talk about why was everybody all upset about Michael Vick? I mean, because he was fighting dogs, and because we think that that's a really horrible thing to do, because we think it's just really terrible to inflict suffering and death on dogs because we find it pleasurable or amusing, or we get some sort of enjoyment out of it. But how is that any different? Michael Vick likes sitting around watching dogs fight. The rest of us like sitting around our barbecue pits roasting their corpses over the summer barbecue, or we like eating ice cream, or we like eating cheese. And I think it's important for your listeners to understand there is no distinction, no coherent moral distinction between meat and other animal products. Animals used for dairy are kept alive longer, they're treated worse than animals used for meat, and they all end up in the same slaughterhouse anyway. So, there's more suffering, in my judgment, there's more suffering in a glass of milk than there is in a pound of steak. So this artificial distinction that gets drawn between vegetarianism and veganism is exactly that, an artificial, non-intellectually, non-logically defensible distinction. So my view is that as long as people are continuing to consume animals, then it's really, everything else is sort of a sideshow, and nothing's really going to change. And having done this work now for 30 years, I can tell you things aren't getting better, they're getting worse. We're exploiting more animals now than ever before in more horrific ways than any point in human history. The per capita consumption is going up, it's not going down. Things are getting worse for animals, they're not getting better. And all we do is we sit around having these ridiculous discussions about things like Proposition 2 out there in California, which I think to call it a waste of time would be the most charitable thing I could say about Proposition 2. But, I think it was ridiculous. And we're seeing that now because now egg producers are starting to move to enriched cages, which is ridiculous. That means slightly bigger cages, some of which may have some nesting or straw material in them, or may not. But they're just basically larger cages. So some of the producers are going to larger cages, and all the animal advocates are getting all upset about it. Well, what did you think they were going to do? Proposition 2 is never going to work. That sort of regulation doesn't work.
You make a very good point, which I actually want to elaborate on after the break. Don't go away. Dr. Gary Francione on Animals Today. Doing it again.
Did you know that there's a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now, everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits, too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
This is not a get-rich-quick kind of career. It is a legitimate, proven way to supplement your income. Some people have found it can be a full-time job, but clearly it's what you make it. Our mystery shopping list will tell you all about companies that offer not just mystery shopping or secret shopping, but merchandising jobs, sampling promotional opportunities, auditing of movie theaters, and more. Mystery shopping is where you're paid to evaluate things like performance by employees, cleanliness, and professionalism at businesses like retail stores, restaurants, banks, and more. As a non-biased consumer, you'll earn a fair wage and typically will be reimbursed for purchases made at the business. You'll get this complete list of more than 40 companies for just $10. That's right, only $10. Order now by visiting us online at mshopusa.com. That's mshopusa.com. mshopusa.com. It'll be the best $10 you've ever spent.
The following contains a toll-free number for individuals looking to lose 30 pounds or more.
Please pay attention. If you would like to be among the first to try a weight loss supplement that's proven to help you lose weight, please call the toll-free number at the end of this ad. If you do, you'll receive a risk-free trial of an exclusive weight loss aid that does not require a prescription. By enrolling in the 30-day risk-free trial, you'll be able to burn fat more quickly by boosting your metabolic heart rate, allowing you to lose weight in days instead of weeks. Be among the first to call and get your trial risk-free. 1-800-504-9756. Again, if you would like to try a proven weight loss supplement that could help you lose 30 pounds or more without a prescription, you may now call for the risk-free trial. Call Acai Fresh now. 1-800-504-9756. 1-800-504-9756. You may begin calling now. 1-800-504-9756.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We're speaking to Professor Gary Francione and author of Gary Francione. Gary, we're talking about how veganism should really be the backbone of the animal rights movement. Gary, a couple questions here. Do you think the animal welfare movement has actually made things worse? And, Gary, why do you think so many animal advocates or people who claim to be animal advocates are not vegans, and shouldn't every veterinarian be a vegan?
Wow, Laura, why don't you ask me some simple questions? Let's ask you some easy ones. There's a lot to respond to that. I think that, remember something, veterinarians are, please let me explain the analogy before anyone's insulted by it, but are really sort of like car mechanics in the sense that they're not there to serve the interests of the animals. They're there to serve the interests of animal owners and to take care of animal property. So really, a veterinarian really is no different from as far as the structure of the profession is concerned. The obligation is owed to the owner of the animal, not to the animal. So the veterinarian is not dissimilar from the mechanic who owes nothing to the car, owes it to the car owner. Owes the obligation to the car owner. Why do I think a lot of animal advocates are not vegans? Well, that's complicated. I mean, in part, there are lots of reasons for that. One of the reasons is because veganism really isn't part of the discourse about animal issues in this country, in large part because the large organizations don't talk about it. To the extent they talk about things, they talk about vegetarianism. But, look at what's going on right now. You have almost all of the large animal organizations involved in programs to support various, happy meat sorts of labels. So you have all of these large animal organizations. And, you have PETA supporting Whole Foods. You've got HSUS with their stamp of approval. You've got Humane Farm Care with their stamp of approval. You've got all these organizations basically telling people that they can they can discharge their moral obligations to animals and still continue to consume them. If you tell people that, that's exactly what they're going to do. I mean, if you look at what Peter Singer says, Peter Singer, who's supposed to be the father of the animal rights movement, he makes it very clear that using animals is not the problem. The problem is how we treat them. And he makes it very clear that as long as we are conscientious omnivores, there may be nothing wrong with consuming animals, as long as we're careful to consume animals that have been, quote, humanely, end quote, treated. So when you have the animal movement taking that position, it really shouldn't come as any surprise that so many animal advocates are not vegans. Now, another part of what you asked was whether I thought animal welfare was making matters worse. Yes, I absolutely do. I don't think animal welfare regulation does anything to help animals. Animal welfare regulation, because animals are property, animal welfare regulation will always be very low, and the protection afforded by animal welfare regulation will always be very, very, very low because it costs money to protect animal interests, and animal producers are only going to spend that money when they think it's justified by market demand conditions. Which is so it becomes a sort of one of the issues I explored in my book in 1995, Animals, Property, and the Law, was I looked at animal welfare regulation, and I looked, for example, at the Humane Slaughter Act of 1958. The reason why that came into being, the reason why industry basically agreed to that in the end, was because when you have a 2,000-pound animal hanging upside down that's conscious, that animal is going to hit workers and create injuries, and there's going to be lawsuits, and there's going to be liability, and also there's going to be carcass damage. So I hear the cue. We have to go to a break.
Yes, I'm very familiar with the Humane Slaughter Act. That was a great example, a great point that you're bringing up. Don't go away. We have more with Dr. Gary Francione, and we're going to talk about his new book that's coming out. It's really the animal rights debate, abolition or regulation, and much more. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. This is Animals Today.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Would you like to own a brand new computer and improve your credit at the same time? If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99, you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. Computer Funding says you're approved, guaranteed, even if you have bad credit or no credit. All you need is a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for only 12 months. We even report on your credit so you can help start to build or rebuild a positive rating today. Call 888-416-2321. Call right now and we'll include a free 20-inch LCD TV and free printer with your paid purchase. That's a free LCD TV and free printer. Don't wait. Call now for your computer or wireless laptop and help build or rebuild your credit today. Call 888-416-2321. 888-416-2321. That's 888-416-2321.
We're back with Dr. Gary Francione. Gary, I want you to tell us about your book that's about to be published, entitled The Animal Rights Debate, Abolition or Regulation. And Gary, just for the best interest of time, I also want to ask you afterwards about your views on the use of violent means to advance the cause of animal rights. So
all right.
Tell us about your book.
Well, actually, I discuss violence in the book, so I can answer
Good.
That in telling you about the book. The book, which will be out, I think, next month, is being published by Columbia University Press, and it's co-authored with Dr. Robert Garner of the University of Leicester in the United Kingdom. Robert supports the regulation of animal use. I criticize it, and so we have a debate. You know, I support the abolitionist perspective in part one. He supports the regulationist perspective in part two, and then in the third part we have a back and forth debate. And we cover various topics like the one that we were just talking about whether animal welfare reform works, for example. I mean, there's the lengthy discussion about how, for example, the ongoing campaign that PETA and HSUS Farm Sanctuary and some other groups are involved with to promote the gassing of chickens rather than electrical stunning is based on the notion, if you look at the literature that these groups are relying on, is based on the notion that gassing is economically efficient for producers, that it will actually reduce carcass damage and will make the chicken industry more economically efficient, which is why, by the way, Lori, eventually they will be gassing chickens. They won't be using electrical stunning anymore, not because industry cares about the welfare of the chickens, but because it's the economically
right.
efficient thing for them to do.
Right.
So we discuss those sorts of topics. We discuss it both in the American context and in the European context, because there is an idea that somehow, for some reason, some people think that things are much better in Europe. They're really not. And then we discuss. We also talk about violence. And I'm deeply troubled by this notion that it's morally acceptable to use violence to get greater protection or moral status for animals. I mean, putting aside, I am opposed to violence as a philosophical matter, but we don't have time to get into that. Let's just talk about the practicality of violence. It really makes no sense from a common sense perspective. Think about it. If you burn down 10 slaughterhouses right now, tonight, mm-hmm. if the demand for meat remains the same, you're going to have 10 new slaughterhouses, or 10 existing slaughterhouses will increase production.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter. This idea that it's all right to, I mean, the problem is not the slaughterhouse. The problem is the people who are demanding meat. The problem is not the vivisector. The problem is the fact that the public overwhelmingly supports vivisection. You know, I find it really remarkable that a lot of these people who support violence are not themselves even vegan. As a matter of fact, some of the leaders of the pro-violence segment of the movement are not vegans. So they themselves are animal exploiters. And who are animal exploiters? They're basically people who exploit animals, who use them, who wear them. So these people are busy, you know, promoting breaking into labs, and then they all go out and have their cheese pizzas. I mean, it's sort of like wearing a Che Guevara T-shirt while you're shopping at Bloomingdale's or something. I mean, it just strikes me as if it weren't the problem is these are a really small segment of people. Thank God, in the you know they're a small group of outliers who are promoting violence. The problem is because. People who are opposed to animal rights for various reasons blow out of proportion their significance. So I end up, for example, in many public lectures that I give, having people spend a lot of time talking to me about the problem of violence in the animal rights movement. And there, you know, there are some people who promote violence. The overwhelming number of people in the animal movement do not. Look, the animal rights movement, as I see it, is an extension of the peace movement. The problem is violence. Violence isn't going to solve the problem. Lori, if violence were a solution to anything, the history of humankind is the history of violence. And if violence worked, we'd all be living in the Garden of Eden right now. But it ain't. Things are more violent than they've ever been. Violence doesn't work. Violence begets violence. So I think this idea, you know, I see the animal rights movement, the abolitionist movement, as a movement that promotes nonviolence. It's a movement that rejects speciesism. It rejects racism, sexism, heterosexism. It's all part of the same thing. Violence is violence is violence is violence. And the only way we're going to solve the problem is by getting to the root of the problem. The radical solution is not violence. The radical solution, the solution that gets to the root of the problem, is peace and nonviolence. That's the only thing that's going to work. So I think we really need to sort of focus on the fact that I don't care what you do. I don't care these people who are promoting, let's burn this down, let's, you know, kill this one, let's burn this. You know, you can do whatever you want as long as the demand is there. Someone else is gonna be there to supply. You know, in Britain, where they've had the highest proportion of violence against people involved in vivisection. Vivisection is, I think, went up 18% in Britain last year. Why? Because the public supports vivisection. So as long as the demand is there, as long as people are eating meat, as long as they're wearing leather, wool, silk, and I don't distinguish between, you know, I'm not a big fan of these single issue campaigns that sort of single out fur and things like that. There's no difference between fur, leather, wool, and silk. Right. Silk, fur has been a convenient target because women wear it, and people feel comfortable walking up to women wearing fur coats, making insulting comments. Where to do so to a man wearing a leather jacket might result in your teeth being removed. But I don't draw a distinction there. But as long as people are doing these things, as long as people are engaged in these forms of animal, as long as they're demanding these products, there's going to be somebody there to supply that demand. The problem is not the institutional exploiters. The problem is us. We've got to change we've got to change ourselves. You want to change the world? Yeah. Start with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point, Gary. Listen, we only have a minute. I want to send people to your website and blog, theabolitionistapproach.com. Tell us what else.
Yeah, abolitionistapproach.com, the new book, The Animal Rights Debate, Abolition or Regulation, will be out by Columbia University next month. There are other books that I have that you can see on the site. Animals as Persons, Essays on the Abolition of Animal Exploitation, also published by Columbia in 2008. You can see that. And my book, Introduction to Animal Rights, which was published by Temple University Press in 2000. And there are lots of essays for people to read if they want to explore the issue about animal welfare, or they want to think more about the issue of violence. There are essays and there are podcasts that people can read, listen to, and explore further. And I try to keep up with my emails. I get about 300 a day, so I can't respond to everybody's email. But I do try. I try very, very hard to respond to emails. And I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Dr. Gary Francione, thank you very much for being with us on Animals Today. Don't go away. More with News and Peter.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually in the U.S. On average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
The following contains a toll-free number for individuals looking to lose 30 pounds or more.
Please pay attention. If you would like to be among the first to try a weight loss supplement that's proven to help you lose weight, please call the toll-free number at the end of this ad. If you do, you'll receive a risk-free trial of an exclusive weight loss aid that does not require a prescription. By enrolling in the 30-day risk-free trial, you'll be able to burn fat more quickly by boosting your metabolic heart rate, allowing you to lose weight in days instead of weeks. Be among the first to call and get your trial risk-free. 1-800-504-9756. Again, if you would like to try a proven weight loss supplement that could help you lose 30 pounds or more without a prescription, you may now call for the risk-free trial. Call Acai Fresh now. 1-800-504-9756. 1-800-504-9756. You may begin calling now. 1-800-504-9756.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We just had an outstanding guest, Dr. Gary Francione. And if you missed the show, all our shows are archived. You got to listen to this hour. Go to animalstodayradio.com, animalstodayradio.com, and the show will be archived there if you just missed it. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori.
How are you?
Fine. Thank you for asking.
What's in the news these days?
Oh, do you know that Hong Kong is sort of the global hub of the shark fin industry?
No, I didn't know that.
A lot of it's used in soup.
Yeah.
Delicacy, tradition, and it's used a lot of prestige and goes into serving and consuming shark fin soup.
Do they call it shark fin soup?
I don't know what they call it, but that's
okay.
What we call it. And, but there's a growing movement led by a younger generation to really get away from this cruel practice where, of course, they catch a shark, cut off the fin, and throw it back in, and then it sort of drowns.
Oh, so cruel.
So that's starting to gain ground, the movement against this so-called traditional delicacy. There are good substitutes, and hopefully that will continue.
Yeah.
Interesting press release from Mercedes, their 2012 Mercedes model CLS, soon to maybe next year?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so they are happy to tout the number of animal skins used to outfit this car.
Oh, no.
Here's what they say. 4 animal skins are processed for each CLS. Mercedes goes, go on further to say that the natural pore structure remains intact thanks to a light pigmentation. And the leather has an especially warm and soft feel to it, et cetera, et cetera.
So that should be attractive
and this is,
advertising?
And
what?
They must have tested this on someone and leads you to wonder if the prospective Mercedes buyers want to hear this. I guess they do want to hear about all the leather in their Mercedeses.
Really?
Did you say that?
In the Mercedeses?
Yeah. So there's a interesting thing about the Mercedes and...
So it's not like my encounter with the shoe salesman, and I say, are those leather? And he says, of course they're leather. And I'll say, oh, well, thank you, goodbye. And then they're shocked. So people aren't like, they want 4 different, they want animal skin.
More the better.
The more the better. Wow. Depressing.
And near Acapulco, 6 guys were arrested for illegally harvesting eggs from sea turtles and... The olive Ridley turtles are protected under Mexican law, and they got these guys. We'll see what happens to them.
Oh, my.
So they take the, they sell the eggs or they just eat them.
It's sea turtles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
There you go.
You know, how about at the park last night when I got upset at those little kids that were throwing rocks at the turtles? What's wrong with people,
yes.
Peter?
Ah.
You want to answer that in 30 seconds or less? What is wrong with people? Listen, thanks for joining us on Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
Would you like to own a brand new computer and improve your credit at the same time? If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99, you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. Computer Funding says you're approved guaranteed, even if you have bad credit or no credit. All you need is a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for only 12 months. We even report on your credit so you can help start to build or rebuild a positive rating today. Call 888-416-2321. Call right now and we'll include a free 20-inch LCD TV and free printer with your paid purchase. That's a free LCD TV and free printer. Don't wait. Call now for your computer or wireless laptop and help build or rebuild your credit today. Call 888-416-2321. 888-416-2321. That's 888-416-2321.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Ron Allen. The top U.S. general in Iraq said it may be 3 to 5 years before we know if we have won the war in Iraq. Appearing on CBS's Face the Nation, General Ray Odierno said, with caution, he said a strong democratic Iraq would help bring stability to the Middle East, and if that happens in the next 3 to 5 years, he'd consider the operation in Iraq a success. Officials at the Pentagon have put on hold plans to test a missile-targeting laser. The goal is to destroy a simulated ballistic missile in flight more than 100 miles away. The laser heats the boosting ballistic missile's skin and causing failure from high-speed flight stress. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has announced and revealed the Qarar drone is apparently the first long-range drone for the Islamic Republic. Ahmadinejad proudly said, "We should reach a point where Iran would serve as a defense umbrella in the face of world aggressors."
I used to drive my golfing buddies crazy. I'd walk up from the green to the next tee and someone would ask, "George, what'd you get on the last hole?" And far too many times, I just couldn't remember. Last year, I missed our anniversary, and that did it. I'd seen the ads on TV, so I bought a bottle of Focus Factor, America's number one brain health supplement. In just a few weeks, I really noticed a difference, and so did my golfing buddies. I felt focused and more connected. I could pay closer attention, and finally I knew the score. You see, Focus Factor contains vitamins, minerals, and essential omega-3 oils designed to help support your memory, concentration, and focus. Focus Factor really gives your brain the nourishment it needs. I know with Focus Factor, I won't have to see that look on my wife's face because I forgot our anniversary again.
Buy Focus Factor now at your local warehouse and club retailers, Supercenters, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid.
4 U.S. troops have been killed in Afghanistan today. NATO said 3 died in insurgent attacks. 1 was killed by a homemade bomb. The deaths bring the number of international forces killed in Afghanistan this month to 42, including 28 American. Afghan officials say fighting around the country this weekend has killed 5 Afghan soldiers and at least 17 militants, including a senior Taliban commander. And a roadside bomb in northern Afghanistan killed a former guerrilla leader who battled Soviet invaders decades ago. He had recently been serving in an advisory role as a tribal leader. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has gone so far as to say he takes President Obama at his word that he's not a Muslim. The Kentucky Republican spoke with NBC's media.